We got 7 minutes of unusable garbage.
Yeah, I was telling you our bad week. That's garbage.
7 minutes
of fall asleep.
Phil and Andy complaining tonight about how shitty life is. They should be complaining about how shitty comics are.
Whoa.
That's our job, goddammit.
Yeah.
That's what kept me awake, my burning molten hatred for comics.
Hey, we had a couple weeks of some us being positive, so it's time to return to the level.
This show is not for the easily offended, so if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
I can't imagine, like, I'm still waiting for Fan Expo to get the green light for their 25,000.
I thought they were.
No, we have to hit the next phase of reopening, which I don't know if we will now ever get to.
I got an email from them saying someone from Next Generation is going to be there.
Yeah, I know. They keep on, and then they keep on, like, they have that, the guest announcements. And then they're like, oh, buy tickets. And I'm like, you mean you haven't sold out all your tickets yet? Like,
I think there are plenty of us that are still waiting to see what's happening. But here, let me get the formalities out of way. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have some good news for you. Sadly, it is not that Super Steve is back, but it's that we have had some breakthrough in labor negotiations with Phil. So he's making a special guest appearance while his contract is finalized. Phil, the Ottawa Otter, he's coming in. Phil, say something for the folks at home.
Well, I'm pretty sure that means I'm getting booted because you guys aren't going to sign my contract again.
So
I haven't had enough comments lately.
So
I've got to step up my game today.
So we welcome him back into the fold, and as always, up in the ice box, WWX Kev. Say hi, Kev.
Well, hello, people.
How is the ice box doing?
It's a hot box, and once again.
Oh, you're doing drugs?
And me.
It's a hot pocket.
Me, Andrew the LA Rabbit in Los Angeles. All is right. Indie Comic Book Noise is back in balance, where we tilt towards Canada versus the U.S., but I'm here to represent the red, the white, and the blue.
Once again, back at the comic store. I'm excited to see what you got.
Indie Comic Book Noise, part of the Deliberate Noise Network. You can find old episodes of the show at our website, indiecomicbooknoise.com. You can also find the show on social media, Twitter in particular, Indie Comic Book N. We have individual handles.
Watch something on Netflix. We do that instead.
Phil, we're promoting the show now. we're trying to encourage people to engage with the show.
That's right.
On the website, I try and put show notes and sometimes links to things and whatever. Once in a while, they're free comics, or they'll put sample pages or whatever. You know, I don't know how long those links are going to last, so I tell people to try and go there. Or you can just listen to an old episode for fun. We are not on all the episodes if you want to go way, way back. Indie Comic Book Noise is like a free-flowing kind of discussion about anything independently comic book. So it can be media tie-ins, products, industry news. We're not really tied. We're not like a news update. It's just whatever is floating our boats. We always give a shout-out to the Deliberate Noise Network, the mothership.
Am I allowed to talk about board games yet?
Nah. Well, we'll see if it's tied into a comic book.
Garden, we'll have any of those.
And the Deliberate Noise Network is pretty cool. Not only do they host us, but they host tons of great shows. Everything you could want, comic books and not. As you heard at the beginning, we do have a disclaimer because of the wide-ranging topics and styles. Sometimes adult language concepts, concerns are addressed. But as always, disclaimer, we never say anything controversial.
So I disclaim your disclaimer and disclaim that disclaimer with like a possible controversial thing that may not represent us. Like, we need to create a Patreon Substack.
What are we going to do? Send people stickers? Yeah. Is that what that is?
Buttons.
I'm not really sure we need to do that. I like, that doesn't feel indie to me. I feel like we're much better. You know, if we start demanding compensation, yeah, we're going to have to get more regular, gentlemen. We're going to have to.
You don't want to answer to the man.
Yeah, we're going to have to put shows out on a regular basis. I mean, we love our indie scheduling, where we release it when we feel we want to.
Yeah, and then I'll have to start reviewing comics.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't do that.
So we're going to keep it free and easy. And I thought, just to mix it up, I would throw something for Kevin and Phil's way, because I heard the big news. I know Kevin's like a minority owner or something. No, he's a big wheel with the Fan Expo family, who has expanded their portfolios to absorb some of the Wizard shows. So, Kevin, did you see a bump in your stock holdings? Or?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I hear Wizard doesn't have any shows anymore. Like, I guess that's the rest of their shows.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think it makes Fan Expo, if they weren't the biggest.
They're the biggest.
I mean, they surpassed Reed Pop, has a few shows, and the people that put on San Diego have, you know, two or three shows. But now Fan Expo, I think they're the big daddy. So yeah, that makes you the little daddy.
The times I went, I thought it was run really well. I really enjoyed my time there.
Yeah, most of the animosity people have towards that show is before the current owners and all that amalgamation. So, yeah, that's... yeah, they have 17 shows now, which is quite a lot of shows. And I've seen a lot of people asking, oh, is Fan Expo good? Or how are their shows? And I always feel like people are going to be disappointed in a way, because they're going to be like, oh, it's just one of those, another one of those big shows that has partial comic content. But they literally, like, it's Fan Expo. No one's going to be complaining that, like, Comic-Con, do they have comics? Like, no one's going to go, do they have fans at Fan Expo? Like, it's a pretty good generic name.
And for me, it was good because not only did I have my comic stuff, but it also had a good horror scene for me.
Yeah, like, they definitely have multi-genres at their event, and then they try things, and then sometimes it doesn't work out, so that thing won't make it into the next year. And I also wonder how the Fan Expo, like, Canada might be different than the other things. Like that's sort of like our big show, so maybe there's, like, different booths or whatever rather than different, like, U.S. cities, like maybe some of the categories shrink or whatever.
Well, I feel like us Canadians shower more. So maybe our con's a little more pleasant.
Well, gentlemen, this may surprise you. My first Comic-Con that I recall going to was a Wizard show.
Mm-hmm.
It was in this new millennium.
I used to love the magazine.
So it was early 2000s. It was Wizard World Anaheim. Back in the day, Wizard would compete and have shows that had, in cities that had other shows. And then I feel like they moved strategies maybe a decade ago to mainly be in a lot of other markets where they could be the big dog. Because I remember at the Anaheim show, it was up against a show in Chicago, or maybe it was the second year. And so it was kind of splitting the talent. You know, because a bunch of them are in one city and the rest are in the other. And I think they realized they were better off if they go to and be the biggest show in Nashville. Or, like, you're never going to be the biggest show in Anaheim, you know, because of the proximity to Los Angeles and San Diego and all those other spots. So I thought it was a smart move. But yeah, it was a Wizard World Anaheim, I believe, was the first show I went to. So I liked it, but I hadn't been to a Wizard show in years, because even before they left, they started moving a lot of the comic book content to kind of a second tier almost, I felt. Like, it was there, but it wasn't the spotlight. You know, it wasn't, they were mainly like the TV and stuff, which is good, but you know, I want at least as much comics as TV.
Yeah, I forget who had some depressing article about conventions out there where they're like, in the future, it'll only be signings and stuff. And then I'm like, why would I go?
That's how the Ottawa one is. That's why I don't go, even though it's so close.
Yeah. I mean,
because it's all that.
Like, I mean, TCAF is, like, there's no really vendors and it's just people, but there's still physical objects and stuff to go see. So it's like you'd have to, like, move, like, a museum or something in to cover the vendor space and have all this cool stuff going on if you were going to remove, like, all the physical objects from a con.
Well, I also feel like if you're in a large metropolitan area, you can make your smaller show work, but you really have to have a hook or bring some people in because, you know, we've got Long Beach, we've got Revolution. And so I'm going to see the local people at one of those shows. So if you only bring the local people, which is a very talented, good people, I'm not going to need to go to all the different shows because I see them. So I do feel like you need to bring in a couple of heavy hitters to anchor the show. Like Revolution, I think the last few years they brought in like Chris Claremont and a couple other, you know, good names that are like, okay, that's not just some well-known but local guy. It's like someone they're bringing in, so it's worth it because you don't see him at every other show. Although, I don't know, maybe you see him now. The other thing that's interesting is I feel like creators will suddenly go into like show mode where they'll do a lot of shows for a couple years and then disappear.
Yeah.
But
they
I don't
get hot or whatever.
Yeah. I don't begrudge them that. I could see how it would be tiring if you're going all over the place to these different shows. And then in wrap up news, I thought I would say for those that are concerned about my nattering nabob of negativism, I am continuing on. I picked up some number twos. I got Dynamite, you know, the Dynamite.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah. Number two.
Did you get Fight Girls too?
And I got Fight Girls number two.
Yes. Okay.
So those are some series I am continuing.
Is that the one where they're in the yellow suits?
They're wearing kind of like athletic gear, like a sports bra and shorts.
And it's who's it by again?
Frank Cho and Sabine Rich on color.
Okay, yeah, I did. Yeah, I got that one too. Because I think you guys were talking about it, right?
So
yeah.
So number two came out quite recently, and I was able to grab a copy. I think it was the last copy on the shelf.
Wow.
And same.
Do you read it?
Yes. I thought two was an improvement. I still don't like the TV stuff.
Yeah. But is it less this issue? It seems like it might be.
Well, what's nice is that they're also winnowing the field down from our 10 competitors. And I noticed, minor spoiler, the ones they're bumping off are the ones that don't get a lot of screen time, so to speak. So they're smart. You know, with five issues, they need to be getting to it. And so I like that they're getting to it, so I preferred this one, I think, now that I know the world. And we didn't, I think we excoriated the first one a little bit about their giant dump of exposition in the beginning. And now that we have that over with, we're just getting into the action and the sequence and the backstories going. So yeah, I think it's a nice thing. I also wouldn't blame people if they wanted to wait for the trade with the five issue thing. But yeah, it's a fun read. And Dynamite Lives 2 also I'm enjoying. So yeah, I picking up the G.I. Joe still, but let me tell you something, people. They really irked me for some dumb reason. Okay, what? You guys aren't keeping up with G.I. Joe, I take it, from IDW.
No,
okay.
But I kind of looked at the latest issues just online to see, because you were talking about it. I'm like, should I get some G.I. Joe?
So what happened?
I've never read a G.I. Joe.
So what happens is Larry Hama used to work for Marvel on the G.I. Joe and helped develop the mythology and really worked on it. And he has picked up where he left off. So there's a G.I. Joe title that's getting close to 300 issues. And that's a continuation of the storyline. They had a long Snake Eyes related story, but spoiler, in that continuity, the first Snake Eyes is dead and another guy is replacing him. So it has nothing to do with this movie that just came out. Like, that's a whole separate thing. But they created a new character in an issue that came out 4 months ago. And now that issue is, like, spiked in value. And I'm like, no one is going... I need that issue. And no one cares. Like, so this thing is never going to be a toy. It's never going to be in the movie. You know what I mean? If there wasn't a movie series, I could see it. But there isn't... I don't think this G.I. Joe book sells a lot. I'm just irked that, like, I'm out and I'm going to have to pay some bump. I'm hoping they do a second printing or something. Because I'm just like, really? We think this character that was created in 281 is going to be... Like, it's so low. There's, what, hundreds of these G.I. Joe characters? I don't think this one's ever going to... By the time they get to his movie, it's going to be the year 3000.
That's, you just experienced the crazy market where, like, every week there's some fad character that everyone thinks is, oh, this one's going to be the one.
But I get it with Marvel and DC, because legitimately they pick weird characters and put them in movies and TV shows and that stuff.
Yeah, but it's even spread to, like, Image and Boom, and, like, there's so many things getting optioned and everything. So, like, you even get weird stuff sometimes where there'll be some micro print run and they're like, oh, yeah, this is, everyone's going to want this. And I'm thinking, probably not.
Yeah, I don't think, I'm just, like, so mad about this. Like, who, the continuity is such a weird, its own thing. It's not going anywhere.
Do they do traits?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So I might just end up, but I'd been enjoying, because that was the one thing that I was able to fill up on at COVID time, minus this issue. So I have a run, you know, not a long one, but from 2018 or 19 or whatever up through now. So it was like, oh, I've got one thing at least that the stupid thing didn't interrupt. That's been a nice kind of run and fun. And then this, like, madness of people jumping on the hot new book that's going to be something. And I don't... Yeah, like, I found out that I'd given away my Exiles 3 or whatever that has the Peggy Carter one that everyone wants. Like, it just...
Yeah.
I don't... I'd already... These things, they don't stay. I'm not going to hoard a bunch of comics that I'm not... I don't know. I like just reading them. Some I keep, some I give away. It just, it's one of those frustrating, I get the Marvel and DC, and the Image too, but do we really think this new character, the title of G.I. Joe that isn't following the movies, by the way?
Look at Usagi Yojimbo. Look up, like, the latest issue where he introduced a new character. Now that one, some people are like, oh, I gotta get this new character.
I mean, God bless.
I'm like, what?
God bless the creators.
Those days were long gone.
You know, like, the market is really crazy.
It is. Well, the other thing that's annoying is that G.I. Joe, I think, does not do well. Like, there are,
I've never read a comic.
I go into stores that don't carry any shelf copies.
Yeah.
Like, my local guy
does. Well enough.
Do. But
there's a big fan base, though, especially
like,
for Larry.
I don't know how they got as far as they did with what they're doing. Obviously is enough, because you wouldn't think it would be able to go for an extra 100 issues.
Well, I'm just saying that there are stores here that don't have any... My guy has a... In fact, I think the last issue came out 285. I think I got the last shelf copy. But
maybe it sells out that fast.
I went to another one, and they were like, oh, no, that's subscriber-only type of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. It's now reached a point where the fans that like it, and then these other people just... And I'm just like, what a weird speculator book to have.
It is.
Good luck. I hope you make $1 million on your... Maybe I'll
Funny thing about that Exiles issue, I had that on my wall at the last con I sold at, and I wasn't able to sell it. And then it went, like, disappeared. Like, people didn't want it that much anymore. And now it's like, since it's been so long, like, it's come back around again.
Which issue is it?
It's a Peggy Carter as the Captain Britain or Captain America, okay, I guess. Or, and because of the TV show. And I like that Exile series, but I read it. You know, I downloaded the digital code, and then it went in my giveaway pile and gave it away with lots of other comics. So, It's just funny now because I was like, oh, do I have it? Oh, no, I gave that one away. I can make $1 million. And I don't know. It's just funny when it pokes in on the stuff that I don't expect it to, yeah. Like G.I. Joe.
Do you have the Paper Girls number one?
Yeah, I think, unless I sold them fine. I have all the first four or five or whatever.
Okay, that's good.
Are they worth something now?
The series is coming out potentially in the next year.
Ew. Because that was another one I even tried to sell, and I don't think I could get.
Yeah, you might have better luck now.
Okay, because it seemed like nobody was like, you know, which is fine. Like, I don't sell a lot of books, and I need to get enough money to make it worth the effort of packing them up, and I'm not going to sell I can make $2 profit, but when you subtract all the time and energy and all that, your $2 doesn't work out to a very good hourly wage.
Yeah, Kevin, you need...
this is a business opportunity for you, Kevin.
You need a different type of motivation.
Yeah, well, also just, like, I don't take photos of my books normally, so it's then you got to take all the pictures, you got to make a listing, put it up, and I get it if that's your job because you're doing an assembly line of them. But if you find you have a hot book that's worth 10, 15 bucks, you're like, am I really going to get, like, how much is it worth to get the $5 profit? Not worth it, usually. But I don't know, maybe this... But my guy at the store said he'd look out for me and see if he could run one down. Because I almost bought one off of eBay, but... Man, I don't mind the extra price, but when you pay for the shipping, too...
Oh, yeah.
Like, then it tips into, like... Now I'm paying, like, four times cover price, and I'm like...
There had to be an online, like, normal comic store that you could have bought it from, though.
There are, but most of those you need, like, a regular account to have the shipping be worth it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I'll find a seller that'll, like, bundle shipping off eBay, and I'll order a bunch of stuff that way. But even so...
Well, that's a pain in the ass, though, because then you got to message them and shit.
Yeah. Well, the good ones have it set up where they have the cart system, and
I've never come across the good ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm also usually getting kind of not super hot books. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I guess these are super hot. And by super hot, I don't mean that it's like $1 million. Like, it's not. It's just more money than I want to pay when you factor in shipping. Like, I don't really want to pay $25 for it. Like, you know, if it was $8, $9 with shipping, sure. I missed out. I got to pay double or whatever. But at some point, it reaches that number where you're like, man. Because the shipping, I can't blame the seller. Like, they got to pay for shipping anyways. It just makes the system inefficient.
I was that's why you have a pull list. Like Copra. And, like, the shipping is just, like, I'm like, ooh, I don't want, like, good series, but, ooh, I didn't really want to be paying, like, individual shipping per issue. And then I noticed it was, like, if I was going to cons or going to other comic shops out of town, like, I could probably score a copy and avoid that. But, you know, things are what they are, so.
Yeah, well, and now that Steve isn't here, I can also mention I did pick up another Dynamite book, that Barbarella number one. But I don't know, it didn't land me. I probably should go hunt down the original French one.
Yeah,
Dynamite, that's not Dynamite's first Barbarella. I think they had another one, too, not too long ago. And I think, I never read it, but the art, I remember, really caught my eye.
Well, this one's nice. It's Madabek Musabekov, and it's very lush and everything. It just didn't hook me. Sarah Hoyt is the writer, and I think it's just when you think of that character, I just think of the European styling, I guess. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's throwing me because the stories were never, you know. I mean, it's an interesting idea. Sort of like, you know, futuristic, sexy Wonder Woman. But I don't know. I think it needs to go... It's a balance that this book didn't find for me. But I can't say it's like a bad... Like, they put good talent. You know, it looks nice, and the story flows and everything. It just... I don't know. I was like, meh. I think the original would be more to my taste. But, you know, they had stacks of them because Dynamite and the covers. Boys. You know, there's a lot of covers to this.
They like their covers. Spawn also likes his covers now, too.
Did you, Phil, did you pick this up?
I have not, no.
Well, you can give it a miss as far as I think. But yeah, I got the Derek True, the B cover.
Mm-hmm. The only thing from Dynamite I get is those, the Dynamite ones that you got there.
Yeah.
So you got the super hot cover is what you're saying?
Is it hot? I don't know.
I don't know. I just know that some people search out, like, if they don't get the Art Germ, then they get the Chew covers.
Oh, really? Looking at it, I probably would have picked up if I had seen Brian Boland's cover. You know, you get to the store, and I don't flip to the back. I just see what ones they have for regular price, and I'm like, oh, that one looks... You know, I kind of liked the art. It felt kind of a little... The A one was a little... I don't know. It just didn't speak to me. And I think the B seems more in line with the actual interiors. But I didn't know that... I didn't know that Derek Chu was like a regular cover guy.
Yeah, I probably first noticed at DC what was going on. And now it seems like definitely a go-to.
I mean, Brian Boland's a get. That's pretty cool. And this blank Authentics is pretty good. It's Barbarella in a snowstorm with an all-white cover.
What?
It's a sketch cover. But I just like that they call it blank Authentics. So it's a sketch with the Barbarella at the top. Well, maybe about a decade ago, I used to buy sketch covers. They were kind of fun to get at shows, but no shows, no sketch covers, so.
Yeah.
And I still have some blanks waiting to be sketched on.
Yeah, I still have a blank, which is weird. I mean, sometimes that's all that's left, too, and I'm like, I guess I'll get a blank? I don't know. And they were all, like, just white at one point in time, but now they have all sorts of different ones.
Yeah.
Like the Ghost Rider was black.
And I also, if Phil is tracking at home, I got the C cover of Dynamite Lives number 2. That's the Joseph Michael Lisner one.
I wouldn't know. I don't think I have... Because I haven't read that series
okay.
yet.
It's a Vampirella is the cover.
And she's a zombie? I have that one. That's the one I have.
Where 2 is... No, it's the one with her looking regular.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I like that one. I like that character. If we're tracking, you know, what variant covers Andy's has.
I'm surprised you like that series.
Yeah, it's fun. I haven't read it, so I can't comment, but I do have 2 and 3 of Bunny Mask as well, but I haven't read them.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you didn't like that one. You gave that one a bad review.
Yeah, but I was like, we'll give it a shot. And then I didn't get around to reading 2 and 3 was out, so I'm like, well, I better buy 3 if I need, you know how that goes. And that's how you end up having like 8 issues of a series before you end up getting back to it, but I was like, let's give it another shot. It seemed like once the setup was done, I was like, I bet you it picks up.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you now that I've got all that setup nonsense, I can get through it.
I bet you're going to get disappointed.
Whoa, yeah.
So I bet you it's going to be just the same thing. I looked at the first issue. I wasn't too big on it either.
But yeah, so I am... You know, continuing the series is. I mean, I'm still buying number ones for the show, but just wanted everybody to know I haven't given up.
And Spawn, you're still going to stick with Spawn?
I have not read it yet because I need to brace myself, but I did pick up whatever the last issue was.
322?
I have 320 is the last one I bought. I don't know if that's the last one, but that's the last one I saw in the store. Have not read it yet. So I need to, you know, brace myself for that.
And then you got to prepare yourself for the monumental, legendary, epic King's Bond number 1.
If I can get a copy.
I don't think you're going to have a problem securing a copy of that comic.
Hey, I couldn't get G.I. Joe 281.
Are you comparing Bond to G.I. Joe?
I'm just saying, you know, some of these books sell out.
Didn't Al Simmons work for G.I. Joe?
And I got to start reading Die again. I've been buying them, but I need
to... It's ending soon. We need to do like a series wrap-up.
Yeah, I'll just have this little gap in the middle.
Is that a book I should be reading?
Kevin and I were reading it in the beginning. I had some... It was real hit or miss for me. Like, some things work great, and some things were a bomb. It was a weird book. Like, I like that. Like, it was interesting. Even when it failed, like, it was interesting in the failures, too.
And the art was pretty great.
Yeah. So, it wasn't like, oh, I love this book unreservedly, but I like when they take chances, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. That's what I'll say. You'd rather have a book like that than some dull, boring thing that you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I agree. But I feel like I've been prattling. I mean, I got more, but I want to turn the spotlight over to someone else for a little bit.
Well, I have a new favorite comic by Image Comics. I think it's good for fans of Nailbiter. But have you guys read Vinyl?
No, I have an Image Comic. I have an Image comic book, but that's not the one.
This one's by Doug Wagner, Daniel Hilliard, and Dave Stewart. And it's I haven't read the second issue yet, but the first one was so cool. Basically, it's this guy and he's a serial killer, and his best friend is this FBI agent who's supposed to bring him in, kind of thing. And these culty people end up kidnapping the FBI agent, and so like the serial killer is going to try and go save him, kind of thing. But there's just some really cool scenes in it and stuff. And flipping through the second issue, there's like a Jason mask, so there'll be some like cool things for me like that, like Leatherface's mask and stuff. But yeah, I highly recommend this one, Andrew, if you see it. Vinyl. And I also read an Upshot trade, or an AWA Upshot. Is that how I'm supposed to say it?
That's how we've been saying it. For that, because the Fight Girls is the AWA Upshot.
Yeah. Yeah, originally I was saying AWA Studios, but that's not what they have on the cover, so maybe I should just say AWA Upshot.
I feel like they should have just went with Upshot. Like, even though I don't like that name, it's... I don't know.
I think the smaller publishers, at least I would do this, want that A... to start the title, so they're not in the Upshot. They're going to be at the back.
I could see that.
Most comic store guys probably stop reading the previews magazine.
Not me. I go all the way to the figures and everything.
Yeah, but do they stop? Like, it's weird now because it's not even alphabetical in the front. So if they wanted to skip some publishers, they're like, oh yeah, like Images first, and then they got to make sure that if they don't want to see like Boom or IDW. Like, it was easier for them to just skip the back before.
Well, it's funny. I think I told you years ago, the store closed, but there was one that was closer than my other store. But I went in asking for Boom, and they acted like they never even heard of the publisher. Yeah, so there are a few number of stores, I think, that are Marvel, DC, Image, and maybe some pull list stuff. So yeah. I think it's hard for those back of the... even. Ones that got big names like Upshot does. You know, they got well-known creators. I think it can be hard for them, too. Anyways, Phil, sorry. What was the trade read?
So Red Border. This is one of the ones I was excited to read, and I ended up really liking it. Basically, it's like it's a middle-class Mexican family. I think the woman was testifying against the cartel, so the cartel end up coming in when they're having a dinner party, shooting everyone up. So they have to kind of go for the border. And when they get to the border, the cartel catch up to them. And all of a sudden, all the cartel guys get snipered off. And there's a guy with a sniper rifle that helps him, but he ends up being part of this like this family that he brings them to hide out. But they're very, it's kind of like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of thing almost. But they're very racist, and they're like collecting trophies, I guess you could say. So then they have, you know, then it's kind of like, who's the worst enemy here, them or the cartel? And they have to kind of, you know, survive this crazy situation they're in. But yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed this one. This one was by Jason Starr, Will Conrad. I don't know if you guys know them.
Yeah, I feel like I know Jason Starr. Like,
did... it's mostly big names that do these episodes.
Yeah. Like, I feel like they might have wrote a Vertigo crime graphic novel.
Oh, back I think in the you're day. Right. Yes, that with those little hardcover ones they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I'd say this is a high recommend out of their... because I haven't enjoyed a lot of their books, but this one was definitely surprised me.
Well, if you like horror, Phil, you may want to jump on from Vault, The Last Book You'll Ever Read, the Cullen Bunn, Layla Letts one. It's one of those, like, King in Yellow, one of those books.
Oh, I have that. I have the first issue of that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the plot of it. I really, the cover really drew my eye.
Yeah, it's like her, all the hands are coming
out. Yeah, jumping out of a book. I didn't realize they had a bunch of, like, nudie covers or whatever.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Which always bums me. I mean, I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that either. Like, I'm no prude, but I don't want that on my comics on the cover.
So, but yeah, I was like, oh, it's Cullen Bunn, it's horror. I think Phil would like that. But I picked.
Yeah, I do like Cullen Bunn a lot, too.
Yeah, but the cover just really dragged me in. Like, it's really worth it, having the good cover. And the interiors are reminiscent of it, too. Like, I always like when they, you know, it's not like, oh, this, you get a other cover artist, and then you open the book, and you're like, this is nothing like the inside.
Another thing I picked up, but I haven't read yet, just for old time's sake, because it's been so long, is a company you guys always made fun of me for. I got Grim Fairy Tales number 50. But I haven't picked it up in, like, I think me and Andrew read the first couple of issues of this series, this new one, you know, and that's as far as we went, and before that I stopped way before that too, so, but just for fun I picked it up, so I'm sure I wasted my money.
Yeah. Hey, I'm
well, it's an anniversary issue, right?
Yeah, so I figured for fun I would.
I'm also glad they're still around. You know what, like, been a hard, this pandemic stuff has been hard, and I'm glad they're still cranking out books, you know?
And when I first came across them at Fan Expo and I picked up all their books at once, I had such a good time with those books. I really did, so I don't regret my time with them at all. It just, it got a bit too much after a while, that's all.
Yeah, that was definitely one that if you weren't careful, the cover could fool you. I don't want to knock anyone, but I felt like oftentimes the covers were far and away better than the interiors.
And for me, I like Grim Fairy Tales when it was actually Grim Fairy Tales, where then it became like this big superhero universe almost, you know? Like, it became a main character of the book and stuff like that. But I liked it when they actually did modern versions of Grim Fairy Tales.
All right, Kevin, you got anything for us today?
I do. I mean, I was going to bring up the Fight Girls, but we already did that. So.
You can talk about it in more detail if you like. I just gave it my quick thoughts.
I mean, if people want to know a little more, this is like the desert planet. So, and all that entails, like with the sandworms and that type of stuff.
Yeah, I liked that, like I said, the ones they're getting rid of, they're not wasting time developing their characters. Was my favorite part of it, but yeah, and I mean,
there is
I'm
more
starting
intrigue, just pretty much more of everything of like the first issue, and more of a focus on the remaining people.
Yeah, which I like. Like I said, they can drop the camera stuff, but other than that, it looks like they're not going to because that's the story. But
I did read something else from Comico.
Whoa.
Comico? Isn't that an old company?
Possibly. I feel like we've done this before, and I'm always, like, confused.
There is a famous one that's an old company. Some people call it Comico, or Comico, Comico. And they did, like, I think they had Grendel way back in the day. Robotech and all that. This had been in the 80s. I don't know if that's the company Kevin's thinking.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Because they have their editorial page here, or their hype page, and then it has an issue of Grendel, an issue of Robotech Masters, Elementals, Johnny Quest, Mage. And then their editorial thing here is the Comico or Kamiko blimp. I don't know why you'd want to identify yourself as a blimp, but anyhow, that's what they call it.
Well, they were like the here in this country, the Goodyear blimp was pretty famous for flying over live sporting events. So it was kind of like a cultural icon. I don't know if they still do that. It might have faded, but the 80s would have been prime time to have, like during the football championships, aka the Super Bowl, they would have the blimp fly over, and it's a, you know, just as like a
thing. All Canada got was a hot air balloon with Tony the Tiger on it.
So what is the issue? This is Justice Machine issue 1.
Whoa, that sounds valuable.
It's not even their first appearance, really. So, I mean, it's their first ongoing series, but because I was reading, well, at first I read the inside cover and I'm like, oh man, I was kind of bummed out in a way that it wasn't their first appearance, because like it starts off where they're like, it seems like it's like the end of a story, like the end of a big saga, which is, I guess, a cool technique you could use, right? Like you get some big action at the beginning, but you don't get like much of a feel for the characters. Like instead of having your like starting slow and putting like all your character bits at the beginning and getting to know the characters, it's like the flip of that where it's like, oh, we're bringing in this war criminal and we're ending this huge battle and everything, and then by the time they get to like the end, it's like, oh, well, we gotta transport off planet to Earth because they're not on Earth, and we got hours before this can be done, so you know, go hang out and we'll have some narration and stuff. But what there's a couple of things that really struck me here. The inside front cover is Tony Isabella giving you his impressions of these characters before he says he writes the issue, or before they get developed in this first issue or series. So he's like, oh, maybe some of these things are wrong. Maybe I say this character's a jerk and they're not a jerk. Read the comic and find out. So I'm like, oh, like not an unreliable narrator, unreliable writer talking about something before he wrote it.
Hey, you got to hype it somehow, right?
So that was kind of funny. Like, you get characters introed. I mean, I guess you really needed to intro the characters. I'm like, I have no idea who these characters are. I mean, they look kind of familiar in a way that I said. I looked at the artwork and looked at some of the characters, and I'm like, if I squint, I can see the New Warriors. Like, there's Justice, there's Firestar. I mean, these characters exist in some form before New Warriors, but it's weird to sort of see them when it's cropped certain ways, sort of like in the series. So then, of course, what I had to do is I'm like, well, who's drawing this? Like, who's the creator of this Justice Machine, right? So I look up Mike Gustavich, and then I'm like, when was he born? What comics did he do? Then I look at Mark Bagley and Derek Robertson, because I'm like, well, when were they born? Could they have read this? Because you look at this, I'm like, man, I'm getting, like, total New Warriors vibes. Like, even some of the stuff, like, they could have been reading this, looking at this. Like, it has a sort of, like, 80s Marvel style to it.
Yeah, it's definitely 80. Like, all those, I think of them solidly as, like, that 80s, you know, first comics and Eclipse and all those. Yeah. They were right in that wheelhouse. I mean, I know they went past that, but that's, like, the time of when I think of them.
And I know Bagley eventually breaks in, like, during and gets some, like, low-profile work in the 80s. But also, he has some of his style, but he also has that weird 90s angular feet, hoof feet vibe, too.
How dare you, Kevin.
So it's weird to like I think of this as like maybe a precursor to to some of those books in a way. Like, I'm just, I can't believe, like, even some of the, like Firestar has that thing over her face, and I'm like, this character has a thing over it. Like, maybe it's just, like, you're all pulling from the same type of designs and the aesthetic of the time, right? So, and the haircuts, like, some of it looks oddly familiar at times, which is a draw to me. Like, it's not a downside. Like, I obviously like that stuff.
What was also Bill Willingham broke in through there. He started doing the art on Elementals, and then he moved to, before he was a writer. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he wrote Andrew, but I know he did the art on those early Elementals.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read that run one of these days.
So are you going to try and hunt down issues 2 through 15 or 18 or whatever?
I mean, I could. I'll see if I can. Like, sometimes you just run into things or you find a complete run. Like, I don't think. Like, I definitely saw, oh, the first issue. Oh, Justin Machine is one of the, you know, like First Comics, Comico. Yeah. Like, one of those companies. So I'm like, I might as well pick this up, but I don't remember ever running into, like, a lot of it. Like, yeah. Grendel,
yeah.
I think.
I have some, but
see.
Well, the nice thing is, those 80s books usually had big print runs. So.
Yeah.
It's not like some other eras where you're really looking at, they only made a couple thousand of them and you're trying to run it down. It's at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 2 or whatever. Like, there are lots of those prints usually. I don't think I've seen, you see the Robotech a lot, and I think I've picked up a trade of the Elementals.
I have a good amount of the Elementals.
But I don't, as you guys know, I don't really backfill a lot of stuff, so most of the comics I bought from my youth, I just gave away. Mm-hmm. And kept maybe, I don't know, a short box or two short boxes worth and gave the rest away.
Yeah. Well, you also run into that weird issue at a con where something might not be popular enough, or like if they don't have a big enough space, like those issues just are not going to hit the floor. It's like trying to find a low-grade Amazing Spider-Man number 2 or something.
Yeah.
It's... So, and then the other like weird thing is if you find something, like, am I going to use my space or am I going to lug all this huge worthless chunk of stuff back to the room type of thing?
I wonder if also just the time has, as the age of things shift now, they're more like they want to bring stuff from the 90s. You know, if you're going to bring 8 long boxes of junk, maybe you pick stuff from the 90s now to try and get the people of the right age for the nostalgia for that to kick in. Whereas maybe it used to always be the 80s stuff, but
yeah,
you know, as time moves on, you know.
It depends. Yeah, I guess it depends what they have. I know some booths are like incredibly huge, like you can find like pretty much the 70s on off and maybe even 60s if it's really beat up.
Really beat up being, I think that's the other problem, is as the age reaches a certain point, people realize that it might be worth pulling those out, you know, don't put them in the 50-cent dollar box anymore because they're old enough that even though 10 years ago they'd be there now, you know, maybe you can get them for $5 a piece or $3 or whatever.
Yeah, because you definitely see certain modern books in like certain bins, but other ones are definitely selectively not there. So it's interesting.
Well,
and maybe it'll happen again. Maybe I'll be in a situation like that again where I'll be able to we'll see.
Well, it's just so much first appearance madness now that, like,
yeah,
if it's any horseshit character that had a 3-second whatever, someone's like, well, it could be in a TV, you know, and they're not wrong. Like,
no, yeah, I've seen some minor variations on, like, usually books like Justice Machine and everything are totally safe. Like,
yeah,
someone
no one's
rather gamble on Youngblood from the 90s rather than Justice Machine, but even like Grimjack or something, I like saw a little bit of a spike there when, like, was it the Russo brothers? Someone, like, mentioned, oh, yeah, we like that character. We'd like to do a movie. and then it sort of like moved the needle a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think people are realizing now, if you get in early enough, you can really, you know, triple, double, quadruple your money with a really low investment relative. You know, if it's a $10 book now, in 6 months it could be $50.
Yeah. Yeah, you always have to think about space, and then how long do you want to wait? Like, do you want to wait 10 years for a dollar book to become $10? Like, what is your game plan there?
I assume if you have a big enough inventory, you just kind of rotate your crap around, you know? But it does seem like a lot of work tracking all that. Well, I was at one of the stores I don't go to very often, and they had a little sign about, you know, for variant covers, they may check them at the register.
Ooh.
And I was like, that's fine. I don't really... I mean, I don't like it because as a customer, I want to know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... Because I'm not going to bring up some rare variant or whatever, but... It was weird. It was a good stop, but they were one of the ones that's like, oh, no, we don't have G.I. Joe except for pull list people.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. But they did have other stuff.
Yeah, rarely it's worked out if they don't have something priced and then they have to pop out something to check the price. Rarely that works out.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you know, you're like, oh, I got the book, and then you're like, oh, no. Like, it's not happening.
But for me, I don't really, because I'm not trying to flip those short books, I don't really care. It's just annoying because I don't want to accidentally grab the, like, I'm only getting it because either I really legitimately want it,
yeah,
or I thought the cover was cool and didn't realize it was a 1 in 50 or whatever. Or it's, I don't know, I guess maybe they get hot even if they're not super rare. I don't understand the I mean, I certainly get 1 in 100 and 1 in 700.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are going to be expensive, but...
I know, it kind of reminds me when you go to a store and they have, like, 50 empty boxes on the shelf, and then they're like, oh, bring this empty box to the cashier to get exchange for the item, and then, like, the amount of boxes they have on the shelf is not equal to their inventory. So, like, you just have to keep on bringing the box every day to the cashier to see if they actually have the thing. Like, that's... Ugh.
Yeah, it's weird. But like I said, I understand them. I guess these markets move so quick, they don't want to suddenly be like, wait, we sold all our copies of...
Yeah,
you know, Batman 489 or whatever, and they're like, oh yeah, it turns out that someone wrote fuck you in the middle of it or whatever. Batman's turd came alive and is now a new character that'll have a TV show.
So many practices I would rather not see in comic shops are like, make it so that I don't have to experience type of, I hate listing one bad activity that's better than another bad activity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, if that never made it onto the shelf, it's better than it sitting on the shelf and, like, them having to look up the price on something. Like, it's, I don't know, it's
hard. It's hard if you're in there to try and work the market, but part of it's this weird... I mean, I guess I get... I just wish the publishers would communicate with the stores better or whatever and be like, hey, this issue has a new character, like, better triple your orders, but maybe that also bites them in the butt. I don't know. Like, maybe the demand isn't that much more, it's just a bunch of scalpers. I don't know how much... I mean, I guess it depends on the book and the title, but it seems like it's a weird way to goose your sales.
Yeah.
Because you might not be goosing your sales just because all the copies sell out and they're now selling for $20 an issue. Doesn't mean you sold that many more from the publisher's end.
Yeah. Depends if you have a store online too. Because a live market is different than an online market where, like, you'll just have someone randomly speculating on that G.I. Joe character. And then you're like, well, do I order way more copies next month? Or not next month. Like, that's already passed, probably. Yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's such a weird, such a, I mean, it will be fun. Who knows? Maybe in 5 years it'll be the, I just, I'm like, probably really? Not. That no one's going to, this thing is going nowhere. I don't even know how much steam it's got to keep going, but.
Yeah, that's why I would wait for like a few months, see if someone starts dumping their copies. Like if they think, oh, that was a mistake. It's not happening fast enough or whatever.
Well, if I could get to the show, I would pay the extra, you know, because then it'd be $10 for it or something. I'd pay that just to have
yeah.
it. It's just I don't want to do the 15 or to win the shipping and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Your $10 comic jumps up a bit. Or I'm hoping maybe sure. someone will have a trashed copy or fold in the corner or something, because I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I was even looking at a Kickstarter, and like it was UK shipping, and I'm like, it was like 5 comics. Potential, they had reached their stretch goal, so it was potential a bonus 2 comics, but then it was like $91 for like 5 comics, and I'm like, yeah, that's too much, sadly, I think.
Yeah.
Like if those were $10 each at a con, like that might be still like a high price for the amount of pages and everything, but that still only works out to like $50, so comparatively it would still be better.
5 comics, it like shouldn't cost that much to ship.
No, I mean, it would have been nice. It was indie comics, but still, like that shipping is killer.
Well, also, especially if it's a hot book, they're gonna take care in the packing. Like that's why a lot of times I buy lower grade, because as long as it's cheaper for shipping too, like I don't need it packed in like super secure scent tracking and all that stuff. Like I'm just gonna read the dumb thing.
When I say shipping, like really what we're saying is shipping plus like included in that is like the materials they need to use to send it to you is like part of that price.
Yeah, well I'm not gonna cover it now, boys, but maybe if we get enough feedback I'll cover next time. Because I got one of my favorite things from Image Comics, if you guys can guess.
Favorite thing?
I don't know.
Fred Valenti from Image Comics?
Nope. Celebrity Comics. You boys know I love when celebrities make comic books.
I mean, oh!
It's cooled a little bit. Now that comic books are actually like a legitimate thing to be adapted, it's less cool. Like I liked it in the old days when like you were like, what are you doing making like,
yeah,
like you, I guess they just want either they want a little bit extra money or they feel like they're creative. Like now it's a legitimate, like they're gonna make a movie or TV show or whatever. But I've always loved celebrity comics. There's just something about like, hey, I'm really good at playing the guitar or wrestling or acting or singing or whatever, I bet you I can make a great comic book.
So are you talking about M.O.M., Agent of Mom?
Yes.
Oh, that's by a celebrity?
Who? Amelia Clark. Well, I mean, it has... And the other thing I feel like is... And this I think has always been true. Usually the good ones, they do hire real professionals. You know what I mean? Like, the celebrities on it. Like, you know, Nicolas Cage is on the comic. But he's also got... like people in the business too. It's not just,
well, a lot of the time they just do the plot lines, right?
I don't know what they do, Phil. I'll be honest with you. I think I don't want to speak ill. I think it depends on the celebrity and depends on the comic, but we're looking at Marguerite Bennett and Layla Lez, who is the artist for that last book you'll ever read. So like,
okay.
And Bennett, you know, these are known quantities. So, but like I said, I feel that that's generally, like the thing is, these people usually got money, you know what I mean? Like, so they're not, I mean, I did pass on Berserker, I will say, even though it was a celebrity comic, because I felt that was already like ready to be adapted, you know what I mean? I thought that was supposed to be.
Yeah, that was weird. That was a weird situation where the first issue comes out, and then right after that, oh, it's optioned for a movie. Like, you must have known that that was going to...
Yeah.
Like, how could it not happen type of thing?
That was one of those ones that I just felt from the beginning like, oh, this is like the storyboard proof of concept.
Yeah.
But the same thing, like Matt Kent, Ron Garney. Oh, gee, I've never heard of those guys. Like, you know, like you go find like well-known people. And so that's why you're like, oh, this is not. But yeah, there's something about, like I said, that like I'm really good at this hard skill that not a lot of people can do and that pays a lot. So I'm going to translate that to comic books. And they always make me laugh. Although, like I said, nowadays that you can just go get a TV show and a movie out of it, it's taken the charm away. But yeah, that like guitarist from Good Charlotte wrote a Marvel comic, or Kiss had those comics. Like, it was just, I don't know.
Yeah.
They always bring a smile to my face. I think that...
Yeah, in those early 90s Wizard magazine, like, it was pretty obvious. Like, you see William Shatner's Tech World, or...
exactly. And it's,
like, he just signed his name off on that, got the check, and it's like, wow, that is shameless.
Yeah, that like, it goes all the way from that to, like, the guy that's earnestly, like, this is my idea for a comic I've had since I was 8 or whatever. It's weird because I don't... Especially back in the day, it's not like it's the most prestigious art form. Like, I totally get if you're a singer and you want to make a movie, like, that's, you know, you get a lot of praise and everything, and movie, you know, the Academy Awards and all that, but, you know, comic books, less fancy. But yeah, when I saw a celebrity comic, I mean, I didn't like that they jacked the price up, but they give it a stiff cover. I mean, I'm sure there's like 100. I think there was a stack of these things that you could have built a house out of. I'm sure it's worthless, but gosh darn it, it's fun. I don't know if I'm going to, like I said, maybe I'll cover it next time, but I just wanted to give a huge shout out.
I just did.
Huge shout out to celebrity comics and why they make me smile and laugh. But I don't know. Is it like a hot thing, Kevin, or no?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe it has, but I haven't really, like, I haven't heard anything bad about it, so.
No, I like that, as I told Phil, that last book you'll ever read, I really like the art, and it's the same artist. So, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's a terrible thing, and it's 3 issues, so maybe I will. I don't know.
I feel like it's gotten some press in, like outside. Well, this is weird. I say it's got some press outside of the usual comic news circles, but the comic news circle doesn't exist basically anymore. So you're seeing things from like the I don't know, like some New York Reporter or whatever magazine, and then that gets like cannibalized for like the comic news website or something. You know, It's really weird nowadays.
Yeah. Oh, I don't doubt it. I think I got... Yeah, I got the Jen Bartel cover. She just did one cover, right? I got the one with the main covers. I like Jen Bartel's art.
Yeah. I mean, she definitely has a fandom.
I mean, I like the interior artist, too, but I just grabbed the... As I said, obviously, I like the one. But yeah, it was... It's funny. I enjoy this stuff. Huh. And you can get all kinds of crazy sketch covers as well, I guess. Why not? I wish Image did that thing that the other ones do where they give you all the variant covers. That is a real fun time. More variants. Well, so anyways, now you know the way to my heart, boys. Although, I don't know. Like I said, Berserker, it just felt like it was a stunt from the jump. Like, this is a movie that's going to come out or shut. Like... Something was already
I mean, you know how much like I like Matt Kent, but I looked at that and they even changed the artist, didn't they, on that series?
Like I said, I was kind of out. I knew it was going to be, also it seemed like people were going crazy and I'm like, I am not paying a bunch of extra money or whatever.
The other weird thing about that is like a comic shop was like, oh well, we don't have variants in our store, we refuse to sell them. And then like that was the book that broke their no variant cover policy. like everything coming out of that series, I was just like, I don't want to be involved in this thing. Yeah, something was just not sitting right with me. And everyone else has to make like their own determination if they care or if it looks good on the available information. So
I don't like if you like it, buy it. It felt like a bit different from my normal celebrity comic where it feels, yeah, those ones where it's just, I feel like they have a movie waiting and this is proof of like those I'm not interested in as much because I feel like it's just, oh, they know what's going on. But these random celebrity ones where, like you say, they either sign their name or they really want to do it or whatever. It just, hey, sometimes they work out. That Gerard Way guy, I thought he's done some good comics. I mean, that's the exception to the rule, but it's
if they're a big fan of comics to begin with, then they'd probably do an okay job.
Yeah. The other thing about the Berserker, it seems like you played this character in a movie, and now you're doing like a similar character's in this comic, and it's going to be action. And I'm like, how much story? And you know I'm a story guy and sometimes a lot of panels guy. I'm like, how much is actually going to be in these issues? And like massive print run, and people were still like making money and still selling lots of copies to people. Like, I guess general audience people, I hope, bought some of those copies. It just wasn't speculators, because like massive print runs and reprintings.
I don't want to be negative again, but I have a suspicion if shows do come back, I might be able to get some copies of that book as well.
I don't want to be negative, Andrew, but King Spawn might be also in there with Berserker.
Hey, I need to make sure I get a copy, Kevin. It could sell out.
Saying that's going to happen, because there's times where someone will, and maybe it's different in your country, not compared to us foreigners, right? But they'll say, oh, there's so many of this variant cover or so many of this thing. They'll be all over. And then you know what happens? I never see them again. It like never translates to that for me. And I'm like, I know there's a lot of copies out there, but they weren't dumped at this con or in this part of the country or whatever. It didn't happen for me.
I don't know about variant covers, but I feel like usually the main, whatever the one they produce the most of, you can oftentimes find. Yeah. But I think we've reached a good point to wrap this sucker up.
Mm-hmm.
The summer breeze has Phil wafting in this time. Hopefully we can keep him in the fold. But I don't know. Labor negotiations are difficult. Kevin, how do you want to wrap this one up?
Drock, the Southland Wastes don't need that vaccine. Probably neither part of the Northern Badlands soon, because it'll be over.
I wish. Stay safe, everybody. Thanks.
I'm exhausted.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window. Let me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. The paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walk on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine. days of summer, the jasmine's in bloom. July is dressed up and playing her tune, and I come home from a hard day's work, and you're waiting there, a care in the world. See the smile waiting in the kitchen, food cooking on the plates for two. Feel the arms that reach out to hold me in the evening when the day is through.